Jag kan slowly mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed. Then continue with your daily mindfulness to develop it until it's very stable, continuous. So today is very good. I stay here to observe a lot of your drive, and I think a lot of your experience that still tranquil nature for quite a long period, that energy is there. How many of you can feel that quiet, silent moment? Very good. Because that's how your sati or mindfulness belong. Then when it become more and more continuous, your mind will enter sati. And when your mind enters sati, everything you do is aware. Even you sit, don't do anything, your senses are in awareness. Whatever vibration come, you will not call it voice anymore or by word anymore. It's just that impingement. Then very clear, then it exists. Well, when the mind is in sati, it's very different. Then even when you move, it's like magnified, slow motion, because everything is become like continuous. There is a flow. Then initially you like become the one to talk. So if you settle down and develop it over a period, you will transform very fast and you will progress very fast. Okay, so now we continue. Later only we do the Q&A. Tammy, continue.
Page 29. Sotapanna, Sakkadagami, and Four Foundations of Mindfulness. The Buddha said, if you have finished these first seven steps, you are at least a Sotapanna, if not a Sakkadagami, because after step seven is step eight. Step eight is the cultivation of the Four Foundations of Mindfulness. And do you know what these Four Foundations of Mindfulness cultivation are all about? It always starts with what? Yes, after overcoming covetousness and grief, then only you can start to cultivate the Four Foundations of Mindfulness. So without steps 6 and 7 cultivated, do you think you can overcome covetousness and grief? If you can't even have sense restraint, you cannot have the three ways of the right conduct. And how can you overcome covetousness and grief? No way. That is why after that only you can go into the Four Foundations of Mindfulness cultivation. And after you have the first seven steps cultivated, the Four Foundations of Mindfulness cultivation will be very easy. It's like you just breeze through because the following training are already there. The initial wisdom, daily mindfulness, and clear comprehension are all so stable already. That is why all the words that the Buddha mentioned under the Four Foundations of Mindfulness cultivation is I understand and I know what those things are, not according to what most books try to explain to you through their commentaries. Nothing to do with all those thought-based noting, training and doings. It is the awareness that is aware. In Kaya Nupassana, Vedana Nupassana, Citta Nupassana and Dhamma Nupassana, the Buddha always said, mindfulness of the body in the body, internally and externally. Do you know what these are? Internally means within your own kaya, the four postures with all its movement and activities, Satisampajana, the daily mindfulness, you can be aware internally. You can see all these activities. That's why Kaya Nupassana is to train your mindfulness to stabilize it. Then after that, when you can be mindful within, you can also be mindful of outside or externally. That is why at that time nobody taught me. I also hadn't heard of all these types of sutta at that time. But somehow I can see my awareness, especially my specific phenomenal awareness. It is always with all the phenomena that moves. Then I saw one char kway teow, frying rice noodles guy, and I was so amazed, like I was inside him doing the char kway teow. All his actions and movements are like my mind and awareness is inside him doing all those things. That is externally. Then feeling also same. You can feel and sense people's feelings outside. You can sense their content of consciousness. They have become one. All these are possible because your sensitivity of mindfulness, your wisdom and your understanding are there. Then you can also feel nature, the energy within nature and the great beings nature. You can also feel them. You can draw from them, and people who are cultivating draw from your nature, and you can know they are around. Their nature is everywhere. That is why these great beings nature, they are ever radiating for the cultivators of the way. When you start to cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness, that is step 8 of the Avijja Sutta, the Buddha say, during step 8, you will start to experience the 7 factors of enlightenment. They keep on arising when you have done it correctly, in accordance with what he taught you, meaning you are on the right path. Dhamma Nupassana. When it comes to Dhamma Nupassana, there are 5 categories of practices. The first category is mindfulness of the 5 mental hindrances of mind. And this mindfulness of the 5 mental hindrances, you will clear very fast because your daily mindfulness is already there. Then you can understand why the Buddha says there are 5 ways of overcome unwholesome thoughts, like the 5 mental hindrances. The first way is to think of the direct opposite wholesome thought, which is still thought based. That one you can skip. The second one is to think of the consequences and the danger of allowing this unwholesome thought to continue, because this is a wrong thought, an unwholesome thought with evil roots. It will make you evil. So you must decide to abandon them. The third way is the meditative way, where one just silence one's mind and maintain awareness within. When there is restlessness, sensual desires, sloth and torpor, ill will and doubt in your mind, no need to do anything. Just silence your mind and be with it. The Buddha gave the analogy of the pool of water. Can you remember? He asked Ananda to collect the water for him. Initially, the first 2 times, water was milky. Why? Because the bullock cart passed by, stirred the water, hence was not fit for drinking. But at night, he went again. The water was clear. He took the water back with joy, and the Buddha asked him what he had learned. The Buddha later explained to Ananda, when the bullock cart did not go across and you let it settle out long enough, what will happen? The sediments all settle down, so clear water can be collected. Your mind is the same. Its original state is stillness, tranquility and awareness. Therefore, all this so-called anger, hatred, emotion, sankhara, activities, feeling, perception, consciousness, etc. are not intrinsic because they are dependent originating mental phenomena. Meditate to find out when you see something, why did you get angry, become emotional, restless, or let your essential desire arise. Can you just silence your mind and stay with it? Then find out what happened. The mind will settle down because these are dependent originating mind states. It needs conditions for it to continue to be angry or continue to be lustful or agitated. But because you silence your mind and don't do anything, just let the awareness be, then what happens? When the supporting conditions are no longer there, they will all settle down and cease. Initially, the sankhara will start to slow down. The emotion, etc., all will slow down and disappear. Then disperse. Then
actually, the word should be dissipate.
Dissipate. Then you will realize the true mind again, thereby realizing the original mind, the silent mind, the awareness nature within. Then you realize there is peace, there is tranquility, there is stillness, there is no more agitation, no more stress. Then you come to understand like what the Buddha said in the Sutta. You will come to know how the unarisen sensual desire or ill will comes to be. That is through one of your senses, because before you get angry, there was no anger, right? Then how did you get angry? When people say something you don't like or you recall or see something that makes you unhappy, your mind stirs. So it is through one of your senses. That is why you will come to know how the unarisen mental hindrance comes to be. Then when you meditate via the third way and the fourth way to trace the origination factor and then retrospectively reverse it, you will develop the understanding to understand how this arisen mental hindrance ceases to be. When you don't do anything except via maintaining just an awareness within. So finally, when you get to know how the unarisen one arises and how the arisen one ceases, it means you know how to free your mind. After you have wisdom and understanding, you can straighten your views. Then you will come to know how in the future this mental hindrance will never arise again in you. That is what the Satipatthana Sutta cultivation is all about. That is how you should meditate, not according to what you had read via the commentaries without proper understanding. Meditation must be done with understanding. You must silence your mind and maintain awareness. Then later, through daily mindfulness, you develop mindfulness of the 6 internal sense bases and 6 external sense bases. After you have developed the mindfulness of the 5 mental hindrances, you move on to do the mindfulness of the 5 grasping aggregates of form and mind to see all these aggregates of rupa, vedana, sanya, sankhara and vijnana arising and disappearing very clearly. Then you can be at the moment of feeling, at the moment of perception, at the moment of sankhara activities before it starts to concord and move, before it even stirs, reacts or stings. It is like slow motion inside there. It cannot move. Your mindfulness and wisdom are so stable, it can just stay there. I can still remember at the moment of contact, it just stayed there. It didn't move. That's why when they tell you upon contact feeling arise, don't believe but investigate it, because only when you release it, the awareness, then feeling arise, then the content of consciousness went in. If you lack wisdom at the moment of sense experience, feeling will condition craving straight away. You cannot cut at feeling. Without wisdom, you cannot cut. You cannot free. You cannot stop that movement from feeling to craving. It is as if it is automatic. That is how I came to realize without this Yoniso Manasikara wisdom and understanding, you cannot act. You cannot, you totally cannot act. When you have them, this wisdom just comes out and prompts you and straight away frees you. That is how feeling becomes pure feeling and you can laugh at it. You know it cannot move already. That is why the whole cultivation is so different. This mindfulness of the five aggregates of form in my cultivation, you will also go through. After that, you move on to cultivate mindfulness of the six internal sense, six internal and six external sense bases. This is the fourth way to meditate to overcome unwholesome thoughts. This is how you trace the origination factors, how anger comes to be, how fear comes to be, how restlessness of mind comes to be, how sensual desire, ill will and doubt comes to be. When you stay with it, with pure awareness, it will cease to be. Then you start to understand the Dhamma. You start to understand how this form and mind is like the physics experiment analogy, how upon contact it triggers off consciousness via nature's law. Then the input of the content of consciousness determines your karma via the mental intentions input. All this you will start to see. Then you start to understand. When you understand all this, the next mindfulness training within the Dhamma Nupassana category of cultivation is cultivation of mindfulness of the seven factors of enlightenment. This is step 9 of the Avijja Sutta. When you cultivate this, the seven factors of enlightenment keep on arising, because by then you would have finished cultivating Kaya Nupassana, Vedana Nupassana, Chitta Nupassana, then now Dhamma Nupassana. You have come almost the full way. The last one you haven't done is mindfulness of the three turnings of the four noble truths. But before these three turnings of the four noble truth cultivation, you must have reflected and contemplated while constantly listening to the true Dhamma. That implies you have done part of the mindfulness of the three turnings of the four noble truth already. Then when you cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness, it is all about direct seeing with the silent mind via Bhavana Maya Panya. That one is very penetrative. That is the reason why by the time you move into Dhamma Nupassana, you would have understood all those words and instructions of the Buddha. Seven factors of enlightenment. Then the seven factors of enlightenment keep on arising. Sati, Dhamma Vichaya, Viriya, Pitti, Pasadi, Samadhi and Upekka. All these will arise. Then you know you are on the right path. You know you are destined for enlightenment. That's why step 10 of the Avijja Sutta is enlightenment in the here and now. So this Avijja Sutta has all the needed cultivation components, 10 steps very clearly highlighted. Do you know what is Avijja? Avijja is ignorance. So the Buddha purposely spoke this sutta, the sutta on ignorance. He starts out with the ignorance cycle, explaining how you fall initially, then how on the enlightenment cycle you can reverse it. That's why you must go through all these practices and cultivation. The Buddha said, Kayana Mittaship is 100% of your holy life. This is what he told Ananda. At first Ananda told him, it is only 50% of the holy life. But he said to Ananda, no, Kayana Mittaship is 100% of your holy life. Because without Kayana Mitta, I too realize you cannot find this way. All the great beings are your great Kayana Mitta, especially the Buddha and the Bodhisattvas. Without them, you cannot find the way. Without Sama Sambuddhas, and the sasana, it is not easy unless you are a bodhisattva with the vows. Otherwise, when the sasana window is no more, you cannot find the way. Only very few, which they call the Pacheka Buddhas, can. And these Pacheka Buddhas also must have cultivated before. Otherwise, they cannot become Pacheka Buddhas. They become Pacheka Buddhas during non-sasana time. So these are the understandings. I will have to finish off the ninth consciousness, which I haven't explained. The eighth consciousness arises and passes away every moment. After a sense experience arises, you proceed with the sixth consciousness. Then the seventh consciousness, which is the egoic and discriminative mind, will make mental concocting insight that one is like your internal organ. That organ upon contact trigger off the eighth consciousness, and this is the alaya consciousness that has all these contents which have karmic implications. But when you have wisdom, the egoic and discriminative mind is no more. Do you know why? Because sankhara has become pure aggregates, no more grasping. This is why it is no more egoic, no more discriminative. Then the eighth consciousness become pure consciousness. There is no more greed, hatred and delusion. That is why the arahant has no more ignorance. That is why for them no more avijja to condition rebirth consciousness. They will die realizing parinibbana. They will not take rebirth born of ignorance. The eighth consciousness will call it the alaya consciousness or storehouse consciousness, because they want to widen the scope. Indirectly, it is just your karmic consciousness. As far as I understand, there is no such thing as the alaya or eighth consciousness. There is only karmic nature, and everything is recorded in the karmic nature, and that karmic nature is the one that conditions rebirth via karma niyama and decide on your karma. That is the reason why the Buddha said, the moment you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma, and you are what you are because of your karma. So when it comes to karma, you must be very careful. You cannot play a fool with it, because the moment you are born, it follows you, i.e. you are heir to everything that karmic nature had accumulated. This is the reason why if you don't take care of karma, karma can never take care of your life, because your life depends almost entirely on karma, and you are born of it, heir to it, conditioned and supported by it, and you are what you are because of the karmic nature. So do take care of the karmic nature. And how does one take care of the karmic nature? Cultivate the 10 steps of the Avijja Sutta, or at least until step 5. When you hit step 5, step 6 and 7 are automatic for, or is a natural consequence. Step 6 is sense restraint. It means your precepts are well kept already, and your karmic nature is well taken care of. Then step 7 is the 3 ways of right conduct. It means you are on the right path already, the right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood will be there. And coupled with your 4 right effort, which you have cultivated earlier, it can help you develop step 7. Otherwise, you cannot have the 3 ways of right conduct. So all these are linked, and the whole teaching are also linked. Then the last one that the Buddha taught is the ninth consciousness. This one is very easy to understand. What is it? When you go through Nibbana, the ninth consciousness is by right not a consciousness, but they call it consciousness because they don't have a clear understanding. They sometimes call it your true nature, your Buddha nature, but this is the unconditioned, so it is not a consciousness. The word used is wrong. That is why sometimes people get so impressed by Mahayana, because they said Theravada has only one type of consciousness, but we have nine. Then they will ask you, do you know what is 第六世、第七世、第八世 spoken in Mandarin? They are just the six consciousness, seven consciousness, and eight consciousness. It is just the same as the five aggregate of form and mind, as explained by me earlier, nothing more than that. The collapse of the mundane mind. Do you know why I can understand all this? It is because when my mindfulness becomes so stable, I saw all this movement inside my mind. I saw them all. When your stability of mindfulness and wisdom are so established, your mind can be at the moment of contact, moment of feeling, and it does not move, and you can investigate it. At that moment, it does not move because there is no more ignorance, and all those craving force that cause the movement also no more. That's why it cannot move. Then later, when they become pure aggregates, it's even more amazing. One will inquire, how come inside there it is like no mind, no movement at all? Everything is so fine. Then I realize this is the supramundane mind. The mundane mind had collapsed. The mundane mind collapsed because the wisdom energy within is so fine and pure. The vibration is so fine, and this mundane mind, which is too gross to exist, will collapse. Like a layer of consciousness just drops off completely, and when it drops off, it is like the sky. Suddenly, all the clouds and everything that obscure the sun ray from penetrating is no more. Then what happens? The sun rays penetrate, right? Right? Our nature is the same. When the mundane mind collapses, I realize this pure nature shines forth. It's like there is no more of this gross mundane mind with its image and the sankhara mind states to obscure, i.e. no more of those gross form or rupa thoughts and mental formation, etc. are like completely cleared and gone. What is left is just a very fine supramundane mind, which is like no mind. The nature shine forth. When this nature shine forth, that time I felt very different, and my nature was so amazed. How come it is like that? Suddenly I can see everything, despite nothing having changed, and now everything is so clear. The sati, the nature shine forth. Then it's like no need to cultivate mindfulness or awareness anymore. Because that nature has shined forth, you are fully aware. And this is what Master Hui Neng called the mind that has no dwelling. It doesn't dwell anymore. It is that nature that shines forth. That is why it is very different. When that thing happens, I can still remember. I sat there alone for 3 to 4 days, and I was telling my wife, how come it is like that? Truth is everywhere in the midst of life and nature. Why can't you see? For those who see, they always see. Every moment and every instant, the three universal characteristics of nature are there. Everything is so clear. That happened in 1989. Now it is 2019. So how many years ago? 30 years ago, right? Now I only have the chance to explain before people could not understand. But don't worry, please don't go and look for all this. Your time will come. You can never understand until you have gone through all these cultivations. But for most of you, because the Kayaramita force is very strong, so things can move very fast, and that is the reason why a lot of you all now can understand this sharing of mind much better now. In fact, the ability to understand all this is not easy. It means you must have had your past cultivations. You must have your parami, and because of that, this life is not a problem at all. And it is quite easy for you all to develop the requisite understanding. do listen to the recordings, the video, the audio recordings, and later with the transcript, you can read them, reflect, and contemplate on them. Then you will become beautiful. You should learn to write them down to confirm your understanding. It is going to be beautiful. Okay, I think we stop our sharing here. The end, closing puja. Okay, so we shall end our today's sharing. Let us rejoice one more time. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then we will end after chanting the closing puja. And next page. Message by Karamita who helped in the transcript. Most grateful to Brother Teo. Yes, the above transcript sharing is truly beautiful. The below quote by Brother Teo is most beautiful. Be mindful and aware all the time. Just don't stir your mind anymore and let things be. Then all the defilements which are not intrinsic will settle down by itself naturally to reveal the truth. This clarity will reveal the true nature of everything inside and outside, leading to true peace and wisdom within. With metta always, Brother Beng Lim.
So this one more or less summarize what I share. That's why he, Beng Lim, is one of the one that helped in the transcript. Then he texts me this message. You remember all my sharing is about developing mindfulness, okay? That's why she said, be mindful and aware at all time. See, this one is very important. It's a prerequisite. Without the stability of continuous daily mindfulness, that thing cannot happen. Just don't stir your mind anymore and let things be. Then, all the defilements which are not intrinsic will settle down by itself naturally. Just like the block cut that stir the water and make it murky. So you don't stir, you don't go and do the funny thing with your mundane mind, don't put in any content or consciousness, then the very flowering of that emotion or wrong thought is the very ending of it, because no more supporting condition. That's why they will slow down, cease, and dissipate. Then your true mind return. So non-intrinsic will settle down by itself naturally to reveal the truth. This clarity will reveal the true nature of everything inside and outside, leading to true peace and wisdom within. So this is very, very clear and very important. So this will guide you to cultivate. Okay, appending, I think, is a revision. I just get Tammy to read through, then we end.
Appendix 4.2, outline short notes. These below short notes were prepared to help others better understanding what had been shared. Outline short notes for Brother Teo's 11 July 2019 Dharma talk. What is the difference between consciousness and awareness? 1. Sister Amy shared that when one is conscious of life, it does not mean one is also aware of life. Conscious means you can be conscious of what you see, hear, tactile, feel, taste, smell, and think, but one might be heedless. Awareness means being aware from within, aware of whatever that goes on within our form and mind. For those who meditate well, they can go into their sleeping mode and still be aware within while the body rests or sleeps. 2. There are two types of awareness. The first type is the normal specific phenomenon awareness, whereby one is aware of what is going on. Most people are not aware because they are lost in thought most of the time. But when you are aware, you are with the true mind. You are aware of thoughts, content of consciousness, the bodily movement, mental movement, and nature's movement. This is the specific phenomenal awareness, whereby one's awareness and the phenomenon. Oh, sorry, whereby one's awareness and the phenomena are one or move as one. The other type is the silent spacious awareness without a center, spacious awareness. The awareness becomes one with nature, leading to the oneness nature. 3. Awareness is the same as sati. Sati is the pure awareness before the knowing. 4. Conscious means when you are not in the sleeping mode, when you wake up, you become conscious. Conscious of life itself, you have senses in your body, and because of that, you can be conscious of what you see, taste, hear, smell, tactilely feel, and think. Dependent on these six sense doors, consciousness, there must be the six sense bases. And these six sense bases give rise to the six types of corresponding sense door consciousness. Reason why the Mahayana tradition teaches nine types of consciousness, in Theravada tradition, there is only one word for consciousness, i.e. vijnana. 5. There are three Pali words used to denote mind, and they are mano, citta, and vijnana. There are differences. Among them, mano is often used in Dhammapada verse 1 and 2. Mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. This mind is mano. Mind made are they. If one speaks or acts with an evil mind, dukkha will follow him just as the wheel follows the hoof print of the ox that draws the cart. In the four foundation of mindfulness, Satipatthana Sutta, there is this mindfulness of the citta, citta nupassana, i.e. mindfulness of content of consciousness, where the word citta is used as meaning the content of consciousness. Whereas in the law of dependent origination of Paticca Samuppada teachings, the third link is Sankhara Paccaya Vijnana, followed by Vijnana Paccaya Nama Rupa. Here, Vijnana is the pure consciousness, one of the four mind aggregates before the input of the content of consciousness. When the content of consciousness goes in, it becomes Nama Rupa, which is your five mental aggregates of form and mind or thoughts. Hence, citta is your five mental aggregates of form and mind, which is your thought. 6. Initially, in the seeing, there is only the pure seeing consciousness, and there is no one to see. This is your direct seeing, seeing things as they are, before the stirring of mind. But due to ignorance, upon contact of mind with brain, the mind will stir. Then through wrong perception, view, opinions, and conditioning, you input the content of consciousness with the evil roots, thereby creating the karmic consciousness, wholesome and unwholesome. This acting according to memory. 7. The first five consciousness are seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, and touching, or tactile consciousness. The sixth consciousness is sanya, or perception, connected to the mind, which is the common denominator needed for the arising of all these consciousness. When the mind perceives, the sixth consciousness arises. The seventh consciousness arises due to the egoic and or discriminating mind with its view, opinion, conditioning, belief, system, memories, etc. The egoic or discriminative mind creates mental hindrances of likes and dislikes, causing the mind to stir constantly while living life. These mental hindrances give rise to habitual tendencies, leading to latent tendency, anusaya. The seventh consciousness creates karmic consequences. As for the eighth consciousness, it is the alaya consciousness, the storehouse consciousness of karmic accumulations. It is the result of the seventh consciousness that acts as a mental organ. Perception brings the external form of sense data into the mind. So upon contact of this external sense data with the mind and the mental organ, seventh consciousness, the mind consciousness, which is the eighth consciousness, arise. 8. When you have stability of mindfulness, you can be at the moment of contact, feeling and perception, activity of mind, consciousness or content input. You can see them clearly. Human beings normally act according to their memories, but with Dharma understanding, one acts according to wisdom and understanding, born of the first and second turning wisdom, yoniso manasikara. Right views are important. Wrong thoughts make one miserable. After straightening one view, you can then act according to understanding and wisdom, following the Noble Eightfold Path. 9. Understanding Karma Niyama, Chitta Niyama and Dhamma Niyama. The three important spiritual laws are needed for the arising of right views and understanding. 10. For the Arya, there is no more discriminative mind. The aggregates of mind are non-grasping. There is no more egoic mind to cling anymore. Due to awareness and wisdom, one can input pure content of consciousness. 11. Dhammapada, verse 21. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. Heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedful do not die, whilst the heedless are as if dead. Dhammapada, verse 23. The constantly meditative and ever mindful, he or she will realize the supreme born-free enlightenment, Nibbana. 12. In the Avijja Sutta, there are 10 steps leading to liberation, and step 1 is to have Dharma friends to cultivate together. Dharma friends who can guide, consult, motivate, encourage, and help show us the way. Great beings, nature, those of the Buddha and Bodhisattva are true great Dharma friends. Step 2. Listening to the true Dharma. Step 3. Having faith in the Triple Gem. Step 4. Having initial wisdom and wise attention at the moment of sense experience. Step 5. Satisampajana, mindfulness and clear comprehension. Step 6 is sense restraint. Step 7 is the three ways of good conduct. Step 8, cultivating the four foundations of mindfulness can then be cultivated with ease, giving rise to step 9. The seven factors of enlightenment keep arising. You then know you are on the right path. Step 10, enlightenment in the here and the now. To understand Avijja Sutta better, please listen to my below YouTube video and view my below PDF download, Avijja Sutta. 13. After listening to the Dharma, you should inquire, reflect and contemplate into the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths. When you contemplate and is able to see how the Dharma stands up to investigation, there is strong faith in the Buddha and his teaching. You then stabilize your understanding and assimilate this understanding into your nature, leading to the arising of yoniso manasikara, born of the first and second turning wisdom. This understanding will surface when you confront sense experiences born of the first noble truth, eight realities. This understanding liberates you. With this yoniso manasikara, you become less reactive, your mind stirs less, is more at peace with whatever arises, have more moments of silence and awareness, and more space between thoughts. 14. The five daily contemplation are very important. Our body is of the nature to grow old, fall sick, and die, for it has not gone beyond old age, sickness, and death. Separation from loved ones and prized possession when conditions cease to be. And finally, we are born of our karma, the owner of our actions, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. 15. Anicca, Dukkha and Anatta are the three universal characteristics of nature, inherent in all component things, phenomena. With this right understanding, you can confront any issues in life with wisdom, understanding, and compassion. You need mindfulness and wisdom or wise attention at the moment of sense experience. The initial wisdom that you had cultivated will prompt you to act following Noble Eightfold Path with right view, etc. 16. Original mind is tranquil and just aware. All the negative emotion and sankhara mind states are not intrinsic within. When the sensual desires, etc. arise, silence your mind and your mundane thinking mind will slowly settle down on its own. Through knowing that they are all conditioned arising phenomena. Thus, just silence your mind and be with it. Then all these emotions born of wrong thoughts will slow down and you will realize your silent true mind with awareness within. No more agitation, but only tranquility and stillness. With this, you will be able to witness how the arisen mental hindrance ceases to be. You can then meditate on mindfulness of the 6 internal sense spaces and the 6 external sense spaces to trace the origination factor and retrospectively reverse it. With this, you will know how the unarisen mental hindrance of sensual desire come to be. It comes through the senses, example, hearing, seeing, or recalling something that triggered it. Then you know how to free your mind. With this wisdom and right view, you will also come to know how the future, this mental hindrance, how in the future these mental hindrances will not arise anymore. This is part of the Satipatthana Dhamma Nupassana cultivation. 17. Be mindful of the mental hindrances that arise. Be mindful of the 5 aggregates of form and mind. With Sati Sampajana, at the moment of sense experience, mindfulness is so stable that you can be at the moment of contact even before the content of consciousness born of mental stirring is input. Without wisdom, upon contact, feeling will arise to conditioned craving. With wisdom, yoniso manasikara, feeling will remain as pure feeling. Then the pure feeling would not be conditioned into craving. With mindfulness of the 6 internal and 6 external sense bases cultivated, you will come to know how fear, anger, restlessness, sensual desire, ill will, doubt, etc. arise. These mind states will all cease when you just stay with it. 18. With wisdom, there is no more egoic mind. Sankhara become pure aggregates. The 8th consciousness becomes pure consciousness, free of the 3 evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. That's the reason why arahants don't have rebirth consciousness. When they die, all karmic imprints are recorded in one's karmic nature. Thus, Buddha said, you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma, and you are what you are because of your karma. Reason why you need to take care of karma, as your life depends entirely on it. 19. The 9th consciousness is Nibbana, your true nature, your Buddha nature, which is the unconditioned. 20. The pure wisdom energy is so fine that the mundane mind will eventually collapse, and then the supramundane mind from within will shine forth. No more mundane mind's gross sankhara to obscure the true mind. This supramundane mind is the mind that has no dwelling, as taught by Master Huineng. When the nature shines forth, mindfulness becomes automatic, and the 3 universal characteristics of nature is clearly seen at all times, even while in the midst of life. For those who see, they will always see this truth. 21. Brother Teo encourages Kailamita to listen to the audio files and watch the video on the website brotherteo.com and the links provided above for a clearer comprehension. Also, to read the transcript when it is available and constantly reflect upon them to develop the clear understanding. The above short note prepared by Sister Chong Pui Yuan.
Yeah, thank you. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So this Sister Chong Pui Yuan is Buan Chi's daughter. Also Brother Chong's daughter. They are from Alostar, my hometown. Then this transcript, although done only in June 2023, but the talk was 2019. Do you know 2019? That time, I think Po Ching just came to the retreat. First two times, blah, blah, I remember. 2017 and 2018. That 2019 the talk come. Then after that, 2020, the next year, MCO. Then go through the 8-month one. That's why when you understand, in fact, how many years already? 6 years already. Is it 6 years already? Right? 2019 to 2025. Huh? So 6 years ago, this talk was given, no? And the book also come out with you. But people doesn't see the beauty and the depth of understanding that is spoken. That's why at that time, I told you all, don't worry. Sooner or later, the Kayamita falls. It's very strong. That time I can sense it. But after 2016, 2017, I realized the Kayamna Mita force is moving. And like a lot of things need to move, urgent. There is this urgency. That's how all these things come about and become what it is. Then later on I realized after MCO, a lot of things happened. No? The book Straight from the Heart also came out. Unique Dhammakot. Then I think Sri An that time they discussed with Padmasri because he and the wife Mi Feng were busy. They have to off and on go to the daughter's place in US. So they contacted Padmasri whether can use her new house. Nicely renovated now. For Dhamma class. Oh, she very happy. It's meant for Dhamma class. So he agreed to take over from the Thursday class. Then when I went there, very funny. There, the author, the energy there, very conducive. They are very sincere, very generous. And all this like meant to be. They're very funny when I was there. The unique quote, the teaching that I share was so profound or so penetrating. Then I started to shift from the basic essential Dhamma that I teach at Sui An's place into the four circle formation to understand the Supreme Vehicle teaching. That's why after that, a lot of sharing from there and the talk from there became the book. The last two books is Path to Nibbana, via cessation of form and mind. Then ultimate realization to transcend life. These last two books came from the talk and Dhamma sharing there. In fact, a lot of the Dhamma sharing there, you can transcribe and make into book one. There are a lot. But it's going to cause Kayamita a lot of work. Then for me, like the Heart Sutta, I remember, after I finished the Heart Sutta, I said, what you all need to cultivate the sainthood way is already all there and now. That's why I stopped there. Then later on, the transcript of the Six Patriarch Spectrum Sutta, all the yellow book at the back, they are all very penetrating. The three hallmark, everything is all there. Then after that, when this transcript, what is the difference between awareness and consciousness come out? I know already a lot of things are going to happen. Well, this one I also told Jin Hao. I say in the future, when people read this, they will wake up. Yeah. Then the last two book, because Chui helped to do the edit and all the thing, is going to benefit a lot of people. So with these three new book, more or less enough really. You can digest, cultivate accordingly. The rest of the talk you can understand, no problem. Okay? Well, all these books are very useful. Okay, any question? Now we can take question.
I have a question. When you were reading about the part about Kilesa, Anusaya, Kilesa and Asava. Yeah. So the and also we talked about the Sakaya Diti. So how I see it is that avijja, because Sakaya Diti is one of the avijja.
Yeah, yeah.
So does that mean actually all these are all part of our avijja? And to root out the last factor is even the habitual tendencies all have to go. That's my question.
Oh, definitely. Without wisdom, the habitual tendency will stay. Do you know the habitual tendency is the one that causes you to react and stir the sense experience? The bosong, the lack of peace, is all due to that movement. So that movement, you have to understand, is something you have over time because you do it so often until it become habit. And that habit become a tendency. You know? That's why it's like... you call it reflect action in science. You hit your nail, pop, the thing go out.
Reflex.
No need to think one. You know why? Because it's so habitual. Understand? And it's your very strong character. Understand? So character, like I say that day, is very difficult to change. Understand? But that is what you are. And nobody really, without the understanding, is willing to change one. Unless they see clearly that this is really not the way. That's why they want to change. But even when they want to change, this habit keep on coming in or no? It's just like the gambler. Those who go and gamble on. We have that habit. Go and borrow Tai Long also continue on. Then initially it's credit card. Kena. Then cannot pay. Bankruptcy. Also never mind. Understand? But there are a lot, the parents go and help them pay. You know what happened? When they are confronted with this, when the Tai Long or the banker come after them because of the credit card, then the parent like initially pay lah, ayah, never mind. Then the son forced to commit no more of this nonsense. You think he will stop? Immediately within a few months, same problem come back. I got one. Kaya Mita came and see me. He said, "But I cannot deal with my son. I don't know what to do with him." I said, "Why?" He said, "Credit card problem. Promise not to repeat. Second time repeat. Third time repeat. No. Then fourth time again repeat. No. So, first time, second time, third time." So the father came and see me because my kayamita. So I explained to him, this is coming. And you as a father also got entanglement because of the affinity. So I said, the only way to stop all this is be very firm with him. Talk to him one more time, I said. As your dad, not to say I don't love you. All parents love you. But the way you go about is already too much. Yeah. If I continue to pamper you or help you, it's like drug addict. You will not stop and it will end up making you worse. Understand? Then I said, actually, that time was the third time, before the fourth, the third time. And he happened to be the elder son. And he told me, This elder son, they all actually love him a lot. No? He's the only children out of the three that he sent overseas. Spend the most money. You know? But they're happy. You know? Then come back. Don't know, read this. What book are that one? Kiyosaki. You know the book say what? Don't work for people. Understand? Don't work for people. Be your own boss. So he tell the father, accountant, no. I don't want to work already, is it? I want to be a business owner, like what Robert Kiyosaki advised. So, business owner need capital, right? So, ask the parent to help. Parents should help, lah. Happy, huh? Try to support him by giving him the money to start capital. Then, buy a car for him. You know, end up, I don't know what happened, he said. The business doesn't do well and didn't let them know. Initially, we are shy. There was a girlfriend. Girlfriend also dragged in. Then end of the day, the father came to know the car that he gave to him. He got so much summon, the majlis, 6,000 over ringgit. Then he got no money to put petrol, so the car also cannot drive. Then later on, they found out credit card also, big problem. Then really come out with the money and settle for him. Then you know what happened. After that, promise will not go that way anymore. Yeah. Then the father also, like, you know, your own son. So agree to settle. Then after that, not long, kena again. Then come back, harass him to pay again. Then that time he came and see me. But I say, I cannot interfere. Because your life, your son is like that. Most parents, samtong. Then I say, if I were you, I will not give in. Because by giving in, you create worse condition for him. Understand? In Cantonese, hoi sei hoi. Understand? But somehow, the wife, very soft-hearted, he said, "Aiya, never mind. Only elder son. So give up." Then third time, kena, he be tahan. He refused to pay. Then the wife, you know what happened? The son threatened to commit suicide. He said, "I know you all got money. You all don't want to help me. Never mind. I commit suicide. I die." Wow, the wife panic. Panic. Say, must give. Yeah. Then he came to me. I advised him, "Okay, you tell him, not to say I don't love you. We love you. But this is not the way forward." Understand? So what I told him was, you tell him the car if I buy for you, you cannot keep it properly and kena until all the denda, the fine, and all the maintenance also didn't do. You might just sell it. And that money, I give it to you. Finish. After that, how you settle the thing, don't come and see me. But then the mother panic, the mother give in again. But luckily, after that, because his reputation was so bad already, you understand not? So bad. Until the colleague all know, everybody who knows him know that he is like that. So he cannot stay here. No? But luckily, he got a brother-in-law from East Malaysia. Went over to Perth. No? Yeah. So that time, the Kayamita came and see me and said, "Yeah, I got a classmate there." So my classmate helped him settle down and he got a good job. No? That's why the elder son decided to go over there. Luckily, he go over there. Then I told the Kayamita, I said, "If he go over there, nobody know him, he can start again, but he must be serious. And you know Australia, no need to work so hard, understand? So luckily he went over there, he determined, because I think he faced the local reputation become so bad, he dare not do it again, really. Then over there, you know, Australia not like here, all the bank officers, they are told to push credit card to you, Australia different, So there he don't have such problem. Then finally he turned around, and become good boy again, That's why he very happy. After that he came and see me. Then the husband and wife keep on going over to Perth to visit them and all. So this is how you resolve it, understand? How did I come to here?
I was talking about the defilements and the habitual tendencies.
Oh, yeah. This is an example of a person. Because the defilement, without wisdom, you cannot break one on. Even you kena until like the example, he still go and repeat all those mistakes. It's like drug addict. You ask him, don't take drug. I settle. You go and settle. You go back on, I tell you. Very few can come out of it. So habitual tendency is like that. Well, this is something that has become ingrained. So your question is what? Sorry.
You answered already. Actually, I was thinking the word avijja, because we always use that word.
Now
got so many other words. I know sakkaya ditti is mentioned in the book. It's part of avijja that we have to root out. But the kilesa, anusaya, asava wasn't so clear. So
they are the natural consequence of avijja, and also mainly sakkaya ditti. We are self delusion. He doesn't understand that this is not real. He doesn't understand that there is a duty you must do. You cannot violate karma. But because he thought the parent will help him, settle for them one time, they already know, I got somebody who will help me. They continue to repeat one.
Because the question came out because I saw the 10 fetters. The first fetter, Sotapanna already ruled out sakkaya ditti.
But
the avijja is still there. Then I was thinking, what's left? Then it's the habitual tendency that I can... what I know at
but
this level.
At least the Sotapanna, the habitual tendency is attenuated already. But he know this one is not a permanent unchanging entity. So he is no longer deluded by that. Then his faith in the triple gem is there already. No more doubt already. Then right and ritual, you cannot, what word to use? Cannot lie to him. Otherwise, I use the word BS. He cannot BS anymore. So because of that, his anusaya, latent tendency, he will know what to do with it already. Because once you know this is not you, then you will know there is a duty that you have to do. Because this is the condition world, law of karma. That's why after that, he will develop the sense restraint and become a sotapanna. After sense restraint, he cultivate the three type of right conduct. Right view, condition, right thought, right speech, right action. And once he do that, his sensual desire and ill will be attenuated. Understand? He is less greedy, less selfish, less emotional already. Understand not? Then his latent tendency or his habitual tendency in the past, slow down. Slow down. That's why in the cultivation, a lot of Kayamita ask me, I say, you don't worry. If it come out, immediately it come out, it stir first. Because habitual tendency, even Zhen Yan Fa Shi also know, very difficult to root out. It stir, but you only saw manasikara wisdom straight away problem you. Then no more fear. Initially it's like that. But later on, after you do the third and fourth way, when you trace original factor, then you reflect, contemplate, then you know it's wrong view. Then you straighten your view. By the time you can straighten your view, it cannot stir already. Understand? Well, you know, things are just the way it is. You won't stir like last time already. You cannot become selfish like last time already. Understand? That's how you develop it. Okay? You better rejoice. Well, this answer is very important. Yeah, this is how all this cultivation can lead to understanding. If you don't ask, a lot of you dare not ask. So what happened? You keep quiet. Then next retreat, come ask again. Understand? That's why if you really sincerely don't know, you ask. Understand?
Actually, got another question that I thought was a stupid question, so I didn't ask. Now that you bring it up, I try ask lah. So we have contact between the 12 links of Salayatana and Vedana, right? So that contact, when I read the book, is contact with mind. Actually, is it, at first, before I read the book, I thought it was the 18 senses, the eye made contact with the sense data. Then now I see it's eye contact with mind. So actually, now a bit confused. I'm not so clear. Is everything contact with everything, is it? So I think I better clarify instead of assume.
Very good. You see, what she is going through, because she analyzed a lot, she actually tried to use this contemplative understanding. That's why without the direct seeing, you cannot see. Without the pure awareness, develop, stabilize, you cannot. But upon contact means the sense data that come in, that imprint on your sense basis. Understand? Not? Any of your sense basis is contact. Understand? Not? Then it arises feeling. But when you think, what happened? You also make contact with this organ. This one is also organ. That's why I say it's a multi-dimensional. Avijja paccaya sankhara involving ignorant conditioned sankhara, also activity there, also contact. That's why I say that one ignorant contact, it will move down. Understand not? Then the other contact is the Buddha say, for this consciousness and its content to arise, namarupa, the thought, there must be sense basis. Understand not? And each and every of these sense basis, you can have contact. Understand not? But because perception is a common denominator, understand? That there is the mundane mind. Whatever sense or consciousness, seeing, smell, taste, tactile, or even thought, the six sense door, you need that mundane mind, understand? That consciousness. But that is the universal, understand? The common denominator. Which one, even to see, you need the perception, understand? To hear, you need that perception. To smell, to taste, to tactile feel, or go to the brain, mental conscious, you need that perception. To perceive what the memory tell you, the word, the concept, the idea. So, contact can be with any of the senses. So now you understand. It's not difficult when you have the awareness inside. But when you don't have this, you will doubt one. Like she asked, like very logical. Because confusing, is it? Sometimes contact here, then that one, no contact. Still got contact. Avijja paccaya sankhara. Sankhara is the mental activity in the brain. Then you make contact. That's why I told Ng Bee last time. It's multidimensional. It's not a single dimensional. Understand? Then, when in the midst of life, your six sense door, I tell you, move so fast. Suddenly perceive thing, sankara sanya. Then hearing consciousness, another sharpish come, or phone ring. This one sense door come out, ting again, react again, stir already. Within that short moment, you keep on like, dislike, bosong and all that, without you knowing at all. That's why stress out. But yeah, you're still young. You didn't know this is stress. That's why a lot of people, they go through life without understanding. So if your senses operate so fast, without mindfulness, how can you live life? True or not? You cannot cope with life, understand? The sense data keep on coming and imprinting upon you, and you, without the Dhamma understanding, think that this is the only way to act, understand? So, avijja paccaya sankhara, everywhere, understand? Then the mind, with the habitual tendency, stir, react, emotional. That's why sometimes you have fear, panic attack, worry, anxiety, then sorrow, lamentation. So all this mind state is because you react to it, like and dislike. You lack yoniso manasikara, wisdom. You cannot understand life. You cannot understand what is happening within life. So this is what the Buddha meant by ignorant. Ignorant of the truth. The law that governs life and existence. That's why the three spiritual law. Right view is when you have the understanding of the three spiritual law that governs life. Then you have right view. Otherwise, wrong view. Otherwise, avijja. Avijja means ignorant of the truth. Understand not? The way things are, you don't understand. You don't know who are you. What are you? That's how avijja surfaces. Then the main culprit is that ignorance is sakkayaditti, because you grasp at it. The five aggregates of grasping, you remember the grasping aggregate? That is what the human being is all about. That's why mainly sakkayaditti that create the egoic mind, which is selfish, emotional, violent, full of fear, worry, anxiety. Because moha, you won't know what is moha, deluded, because you don't understand. So the human being, through delusion, worry, create fear, anxiety. That's how human beings behave. So you better thank her. If she don't, all this cannot come out. Without condition, I won't explain. You are not there yet. When you are there, the answer, the question will come out. Then my nature know. Then it will come out. So now clear or not? Now you understand the paticca samuppada is multi-dimensional or not? So that one, the book never write one, understand? Never teach one. Okay? Path to Nibbana. Oh, Manyan don't have the book. Oh, outside. Well, this year not bad. We like move as fast as last year. But this year we go one day extra. That's why tomorrow you still go one more day. Then I can flexible with the program. We are on the second last day. We don't have much time. We are 2 to 2:30. Fajan Sifu come. Then we have to come out with the account, everything. Then all this must wrap off. Then we rejoice and go through the whole what they call closing ceremony, first stage. Then after that, the next morning, prepare to go home already. Actually, not much already. Then we need to do the sharing. Because this year is very big, almost 40 of you, plus the online one, 40 plus. So even here we have 38, I think, if I'm not wrong. So the sharing take very long, so I need more time. Okay, luckily we move at the pace fast enough. Man Yuan, very good. Yeah. He read very fast. And very clear one. But tell me, improve already. Improve. Initially, like in between, mkau hei.
Yeah. Page 3.
Can. Okay. I think can skip the introduction. Introduction quite the same. Page 3, yes. Straight away, page 3.
Okay. Unit Dharma code number 97. And Unit Dharma Code 100, Path to Nibbana, Awakening via Cessation of Form and Mind. Pre-Puja Chanting. Greetings by Brother Teo. Today is 16 November 2023, Thursday class. Let us compose our mind and develop the Sada, Viriya and Sati to commence our Pre-Puja Chanting now. End of Puja Chanting. Awareness-based Meditation. As usual, we will have our half an hour of awareness-based meditation. We will turn off the lights for you to proceed with your meditation. Just relax your body and mind
and maintain some form of attention, then we can commence our half an hour of awareness-based meditation. Always remember, awareness-based meditation is to enable us to develop the awareness within. There are four supports to help develop awareness-based meditation. First support is relax. Relax into every mind state that arises. Just maintain a relaxed body and mind. Don't try to know. Don't try to do anything. Just relax and maintain awareness. Second support. Then stabilize the awareness. Third support. The last support is trust. This fourth support you only do after you have developed the stability of mindfulness within. Otherwise, the first three supports are enough, i.e. relax, maintain awareness, then stabilize the awareness. When you can stabilize the awareness within, you will come to understand another aspect of mind which is beyond the thinking, beyond the thought process, which is just the pure awareness nature within. With that, great understanding and joy can arise within your nature. So, we just silence our mind, relax the body and mind, and maintain awareness. Just do that. No need to know or do anything, because the knowing and doing are always by the thoughts. Make your mind alert, attentive and aware. Just aware. Whatever arises, aware, finish. This pure awareness nature within needs to be realized and stabilized. After you can do that, your meditative mind or the tranquil and still mind without thought will manifest. That is your true mind, your silent mind. That is the mind that can develop the wisdom, the insight to awaken you. Since this awareness-based meditation can help one realize the awareness nature within, we must therefore develop and stabilize it. Then make use of it to cultivate the meditative wisdom and understanding needed to liberate the mind. Realizing this awareness nature within is very important. This is your primordial mind or your true mind. It existed before creation and is responsible for the arising of thought processes and the mundane mind. So, this true mind is the first entity to come out from our nature. We call it the pure awareness, PA, from that nature. To develop the meditative understanding, we need to return all thinking, via just being aware, to it. Allow the thinking to naturally slow down by itself, while just relaxing and maintaining awareness, i.e. don't try to do or know. Then, through that process, the thought loses its ability to move or proliferate further, thus becoming very quiet. Then you just continue to maintain awareness. Whatever arises, aware. Whatever arises, aware. And continue to maintain that silent inner awareness. Then, the thinking mind or the mundane mind that you have been using throughout the day will start to slow down, slow down, and slow down until they become very quiet and very still. Then you will experience the tranquility and stillness of mind, thereby realizing the silent mind. The first glimpse of it is already very wonderful and beautiful. When you can stabilize it, you become even more beautiful. After you can be with that pure awareness nature, you can understand a lot of things. Then inquire, without thought, who are you? What are you and what is that nature all about? From then on, you will become very different. You will become more aware and more sensitive. That awareness nature makes you more sensitive because you are just aware and no longer distracted by the thought process, the heedless thinking, the mental activities, and the mental states that arise. When all these mundane thinking...
All those.
Oh, sorry. when all those mundane thinking or stirring of mind and emotions ceases.
Is that what you want? No, no, no. When this one all ceases, this is what you want. You have to meditate to be in that state. When all those mundane thinking or stirring of the mind and emotions ceases, you will realize what?
True mind.
Ha! Explain until so clear already. You some more the one. Aiyo. Really? Clear enough or not? Because this few paragraphs I tell you is a gem. You go, money cannot buy on. And you cannot find it in the world, I tell you. Read on.
Okay.
Louder lah. You sadhu also so quiet.
Sadhu, sadhu.
Those that have their nature from the past, they hear this, they rejoice at anything, I tell you. How can people teach you to understand the true mind? And I make it so clear, you know. This one, I purposely create the format, then Chui helped me to improve the English only, you know. And most of it he follow, except the English change a bit. Read on.
When all those mundane thinking or stirring of mind and emotion ceases, you will realize that true mind, which is so beautiful, so bright, luminous, tranquil, and still, because it's just the pure awareness nature, the bright, luminous nature, which is beyond thought, beyond mind. That one can see things as they are, can awaken, can insight into phenomena, to realize the three universal characteristics of nature, anicca, dukkha, and anatta.
So that type of mind you don't want. You don't want to train. Aiyo. That is the mind can do all this. Then you can experience and realize the true mind, which is so beautiful, so bright, so luminous, tranquil, still. It's just a pure awareness nature, and it's just a nature, no thought, nothing. Then the bright, luminous nature, which is beyond thought, beyond mind, that one can see things as they are. You meditate for what? To develop this wisdom, isn't it? See things as they are, can awaken insight into phenomena, can insight into phenomena, understand not? To realize the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, anatta, and you somehow don't want to put in the resolve and sincere effort with the faith to really develop it. Once you are here, you are home, understand not? It will make you heedful throughout the day. And all this benefit comes along. You prefer the bosong mind, the agitated one. That one burn you not enough, man. Torment you not enough, man. Understand? Why all keep quiet? They say, burn not enough, siu bo gao. Still, think that this is very nice. Actually, boiling hot, molten hot. The moment you touch, it torments you. But because it's just a thought level, your mental suffering, you cannot see. Because it didn't burn you, understand? So, be sensitive. The moment you're sensitive, you realize your mind, the slightest even bosong, very, very subtle one, you also cannot take it already. Hey. You can never allow it to arise. Already. Because that mindfulness is so sensitive. That's why you will know for yourself or no, that this is what life is. No. Then all this movement, because it becomes so clear, even the subtle one, then you root it out. No. One by one you root it out. No. Then one day you realize, no more. Cannot do like last time. The view you have straightened, stabilized already. And you can come into term with all condition, all situation. So all this is what the Buddha meant by what is, or suchness, or jnana dasana, seeing things as they are. So when you have this type of wisdom, you will not stir your mind. But this is a reality. Condition like that, things will be like that. The world is the world. People are just the way they are. When you understand this, the wisdom actually free you. Then, after a while, when all this stabilized, you add in, think also like that, don't think also like that. So all this become yoniso manasikara, very powerful. That's why the moment it spontaneously arises and prompts you, you cannot move already. The stirring also cannot arise already. Then everything become the way it is. Okay? Continue.
Okay. Now I will set the alarm for 30 minutes for you to develop this awareness within, so that you can train yourself in this awareness-based meditation. For those who already have the ability to stabilize their inner awareness, they can just silence their mind completely and stay at the heart area to stabilize their awareness nature further, while cultivating the fourth support of trust. Trust your own awareness nature to develop the meditative movements while just silently observing with a silent mind to understand what is going on within your own form and mind, to understand how you function as a human being, to understand who you are and what you are. Developing all this understanding is what awareness-based meditation is all about. The bell rings. End of 30 minutes of awareness-based meditation. Post-meditation Dharma sharing. You can now slowly and mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the mind states you need to live life and to develop the daily mindfulness awareness to be aware throughout the day, leading to heedfulness. Please turn to page 6 of our chanting book. We shall now chant the invocation to Devas, Deva Ratana. End of chanting. Dharma sharing by Brother Theo on the topic, Unique Dharma Codes 97 and 100, Path to Nibbana, Awakening via Cessation of Form and Mind. We shall continue from where we stop. We are at the Unique Dharma Code number 97 of this book by me, Straight from the Heart, Unique Dharma Codes. This Unique Dharma Code 97 is on page 28. Unique Dharma Code 97. Develop the initial wisdom born of the first and second turning wisdom through constantly listening to the true Dharma and constantly contemplating, reflecting, and inquiring into them to strengthen our views. Three turnings of the Four Noble Truths wisdom. This initial wisdom, born of the first and the second turning of the Four Noble Truths cultivation, are very important. The first turning is via constantly listening to the true Dharma or Sutta as proclaimed by the Buddha. The wisdom born of hearing the Sutta or discourse of the Buddha is called Sutta-maya Panya. After you have heard them, you need to contemplate, reflect, and inquire deep onto all the words spoken by the Buddha to develop the second turning wisdom. Inquire why did the Buddha say this and how can I understand it? Under his second turning of the Four Noble Truths teaching, the Buddha gave very clear guidelines to cultivate them. When he turned the Four Noble Truths for the second time, he also gave specific emphasis for every of these Four Noble Truths. Under the first turning, he only proclaimed the teaching of these Four Noble Truths, i.e., what is the first noble truth of dukkha, the eight realities of life and existence. Then, what is the second noble truth, craving as the cause of arising of dukkha. The third noble truth, as the cessation of dukkha, which means suffering and dukkha need not be, because if you know how to cultivate following his teaching, then cessation of dukkha is possible. Then there is this fourth noble truth where the Buddha proclaimed the Noble Eightfold Path, He said, "There is this Noble Eightfold Path. If you cultivate it, it will bring about the end of all suffering, which means enlightenment in the here and the now." After that, on the second turning, he gave different but specific emphasis for each truth. He said, under the second turning of the first Noble Truth, "The Noble Truth of Dukkha is to be understood. So we need to inquire, why did the Buddha say that this Noble Truth of Dukkha, covering all the eight realities of life and existence, is to be understood? It is because if we haven't developed the understanding of it, then we can be caught in dukkha or suffering without knowing that it is suffering. This can be very dangerous because this self-delusion can make one truly heedless. Knowing that all these eight realities of life and existence are common realities to all of us, we therefore need to confront them as we go through life. When we confront them without wisdom, we suffer. That's why it's called a Noble Truth. So, this Noble Truth of Dukkha is to be understood, means we need to understand what they are. To do that, you must contemplate, reflect, and inquire into all these eight realities as taught by the Buddha. Then, the next inquiry is, how can you develop an understanding of it? This inquiry will allow you to develop a more stable and deeper understanding of this Noble Truth, termed the contemplative understanding. As you reflect and contemplate into it, you can develop more stability of understanding. Because normally, after hearing it for the first time, the understanding is usually not strong and not deep, unless you have cultivated it before from the past. If that is the case, then the moment you hear the truth, you can awaken to it. Otherwise, you need to contemplate and reflect based on the inquiry given. All these contemplative inquiries can give rise to stability of understanding. For example, when we reflect on why the Buddha said birth is suffering, as we reflect, contemplate, or recollect the birth process, we inquire, what follows and what happens during the birth process? Is it really suffering? Especially after we have gone through life, we will have the ability to recollect the actual birth process to understand clearly why birth is suffering, especially for mothers who have given birth before. Because the whole process of birth can be quite dramatic. How does loved ones who are related to the mother and newborn child develop fear, worry, anxiety, and suffering when there are complications during birth? They will all be afflicted. All these are realities that can happen, especially when the birth process is not normal, having problems and complications. Then, due to attachment, craving, clinging, and grasping, suffering will arise, leading to mental agony and misery. This contemplative wisdom can stabilize our understanding. Then we can assimilate all this understanding into our nature to make our second turning wisdom more stable. This second turning's cultivation is a follow-up from the first turning's cultivation. To develop the stability of understanding of the teaching, you need to contemplate very often via the second turning. Of course, the first turning nowadays can include reading. You can read from books, the internet, and listen to recordings. Modern technological advancement has given rise to more convenience for people to develop the first turning wisdom. All these are very beneficial and added advantages if you understand. Under Unit Dharma Code 97, I mentioned, develop the initial wisdom born of the first and second turning cultivation while constantly listening to the true Dharma and constant contemplation, reflection, and inquiry into them. This first and second turning wisdom can let you straighten your views so that this Dharma understanding can be clearly established. This straightening of views leads to wisdom. A lot of this reflection and contemplation teachings are also taught by the Buddha via his essential Dharma teachings of the five daily contemplations, Buddha Nusati, Dharma Nusati, Sangha Nusati, and Mara Nusati. The five daily contemplations. The first and most important one is the five daily contemplations. We need to contemplate these five daily contemplations which are related to the first Noble Truth realities daily. He said, this body, the physical form of ours, they are of the nature to grow old, get sick and die, for it has not gone beyond old age, sickness and death. These first three daily contemplations are for us to develop the understanding clearly that our physical body is not a permanent, unchanging entity. It doesn't belong to us. It goes the way of nature. That's why it's subject to old age, sickness and death. We need to constantly reflect, contemplate, and remind ourselves of this reality so that we are not deluded by it, so that we do not attach and cling to this physical body. Without such understanding, you will attach and cling to this physical body, thinking that it belongs to you. It's a permanent, unchanging entity, whereby you can own it, have it, and possess it. Then you will have problems, because you will then worry about this physical body getting old, getting sick, and finally die. This is Sakaya Ditti, self-delusion, that can condition one to cling and grasp onto this physical body, the first of the five aggregates of the form and mind. As explained by the Buddha, under his first Noble Truth, final summary, in short, this self-delusion that condition us to cling and grasp on to these five aggregates of form and mind is the cause of suffering. That's why the first four realities of birth, old age, sickness and death of the first Noble Truth are closely related to these first three daily contemplations taught by the Buddha here. If we contemplate it, then we will understand why the Buddha said, this body is non-self, impermanent, go the way of nature. If we attach, cling and hold on to it while wanting things our way, which is not nature's way, suffering will be the result. Hence, these universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering and not self are very clear, because if you look and contemplate this physical body, what is it? Basically, it's just the four elements, the four basic elements that subdivide all physical things. We have the earth, pada vidatu, pada vidatu, or solidity element. Then we have the liquid element, apodatu. Then we also have the heat element, tejo datu. Then we also have the wind element, Vayu Dhatu, in Pali. These four elements animate it into a physical body, giving rise to the form aggregate, and this one, the physical body, is subject to nature's condition. That's why it goes the way of nature. It will experience growth, aging, sickness, disease, injury, and finally death. That's why all these are part and parcel of nature's condition. So, this body of ours is of the nature to grow old, get sick, and finally die, even subject to injury. It is a reality. This understanding will give rise to the initial wisdom, Uniso Manasikara, that can enable one not to cling or hold on to this body. Then the fourth daily contemplation, regarding the reality of separation, is also very important. Here the Buddha proclaimed, whatever that we think we own, we possess, or we can hold on to dearly, like our loved ones, our prized possessions, including our reputation, titles, status, wealth, properties, and other possessions, etc., which we believe are ours, will one day separate from us. We may think, because you work towards getting them, therefore you can get to own them. But all these, like the Buddha said, they are not reliable and dependent, because they are all dependent originating, condition arising, and causal phenomena. When the causes and conditions are there, it's like you can own them, you can have them, they belong to you. But when the causes and conditions are no more, it will separate from you, even after physical form and mind behave the same. Because finally, when our breath stops, your entity erase, your identity no more. Separation will still occur. They say you die. So what is death? Who dies? What dies? When consciousness separates from the physical, it cannot function as a human being anymore, because death has occurred. The moment your breath stops, your entity gone. Then how can you own things? How can you have things? That's why all these that you believe you own, you possess, they were separate from you. Then the other understanding is, even while you are still alive, healthy, breathing with all the senses intact, separation can still occur when conditions cease to be. You still will lose them. Take for example your wealth, your prized possessions, your loved ones, your whatever titles and honors, etc. Because they are all dependent originating entities, they can still separate from you when conditions cease to be. So, separation can happen in the form of losing them during nature's calamity or crisis, like economic crisis or financial crisis, and during periods of turmoil, disorder, war, riots, etc. So separation can come about in many ways due to various causes and conditions. Sometimes, due to disease leading to death, separation still occurs. Relationship failure leading to divorce can also cause separation. When you contemplate deep into all this, first four daily contemplation, you can develop wisdom not to be deluded by what you see, hear, smell, taste, tactile, feel, and think, believing that all these are real, can be owned, can be possessed, and you can attach, cling, and grasp onto them. That's how suffering comes to be. When you cannot get what you want, then when things don't go your way, you suffer. So, all these are realities of life and existence, and separation is one of them. Not only divorce and relationship failures can lead to separation, sometimes forced separation due to war can also occur. The death of a sole breadwinner or of a loved one occurring due to accidents, critical disease, etc. can also be very traumatic. Then finally, the most important contemplation is the fifth daily contemplation, where the Buddha said, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of karma. If karma plays such a great role in our life, then what must we do? We must take care of karma, right? How do you take care of karma? You must avoid all evil, do good, and purify your mind. That's how the advice of the Buddha, Vaya Dhammapada verse 183, comes about. That is how the teaching of the Buddha comes about. Dhammapada verse 183, advice of all Buddhas.
Sabba papasa akaranang kusalasa upasampada sacitta pariyoda panang etang buddhana sasanang.
Which means, avoid all evil, do good while cultivating wholesomeness and purify your mind. That's the advice of all Buddhas. These are the three important advice of all Buddhas. From there, the teaching starts. The Buddha explained, to avoid all evil, one must keep the precepts. That's how the precepts, sila or morality, were introduced. Minimum five precepts for lay people. Ability to keep these five precepts are crucial because violating them constitute committing major evils. Undertaking the training rules to abstain from breaking these five precepts can protect you from committing major evils or karmic negativities which can give rise to grave karmic consequences. So, to avoid all evil, you must keep these precepts, and to really keep them, you must train your mind to undertake the training rule to abstain from killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, telling lies, and partaking of any intoxicant or drugs that can bring about karmic downfall. Keeping these five precepts are key requirements to avoid all evil. That's why we need to train our mind in mindfulness awareness to enable us to be aware of our mental intention before we continue to allow it to act out until transgression. Initially, it may just be a simple thought. Then, if you are not aware or not mindful of the evil mental intention within, it can give rise to karmic negativity. You also need to know what constitutes evil. The three evil mind states or roots of greed, hatred and delusion are the roots of all evil. That's why when you are aware of them, when you understand what constitutes evil, this awareness can prevent you from breaking the precepts. This awareness will see the mental intention that has the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion, especially selfishness, craving, desire, possessiveness, lust, grasping and clinging, etc., which are mainly the evil root of greed. Then, due to self-delusion, we believe we exist, and when things don't go our way, we get angry, we get emotional. Then hatred, evil, jealousy and unhappiness, which are the evil roots of hatred, arise. Finally, we have the evil root of delusion, or sakaya ditti, self-delusion, that conditions your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation to manifest. That's the reason why, without mindfulness and the Dharma understanding of what constitutes evil, you cannot effectively keep your precepts. So the ability to keep the precepts needs mindfulness. That's why the meditation as taught by my nature is sati and mindfulness, or mindfulness, which is awareness-based and not thought-based. You train yourself to be aware, mindful, then stabilize it to be ever mindful. With this ability, you can avoid all evils to take care of karma. Then karma will take care of your life. No more negative karmic conditioning, meaning no more fruition of these negative actions, speech and thought processes. When we understand this, we can develop the purification of mind, body and action, leading to our ability to avoid all evil. You then need to move on to the next step of cultivation, which is the cultivation of wholesomeness. All evil is to be avoided first, then cultivate whatever wholesomeness whenever there is condition. This is cultivating kusala karma, wholesome karma, born of wholesome action, speech and thought processes. To do it, you need to arise the third right effort. Cultivating the four right efforts. To avoid all evil, you need to cultivate the first and second right efforts. The first right effort is to abandon whatever negative or wrong thought with negative mental intention that has arisen. It means after you are mindful that the wrong thought, speech, action and speech has arisen, the Buddha taught us five ways to abandon it. It means the right effort to abandon the wrong thought that has arisen so that it will not carry through to condition you into karmic negativity. Then, the second right effort is to prevent the arising of the negative thought or mental intention leading to self-restraint.
Sense restraint.
After the first and second right efforts, we need to develop wholesomeness via the third and the fourth right efforts. The third right effort is to cultivate whatever virtue or goodness or kindness that are still not in you. Means
to cultivate whatever right thought, right speech, right action, and right living that are still not in you. Then after that, the fourth right effort is to refine upon whatever right thought, right speech, right action, or right livelihood that we have developed, meaning all the virtual and appropriate good and wholesome mind states, you need to refine upon them until it is perfected. These four right efforts are just the initial training. We also need to cultivate the third and fourth ways to overcome unwholesome thought as taught by the Buddha, which is the meditative approach. The third way is to only maintain awareness, mindfulness, to be with it. Then it will cease, because everything is dependent originating and conditioned arising phenomena. If you maintain awareness, it will cease to be. Then you can see clearly that anger was never you, selfishness was never you, envy, jealousy, fear, worry, and anxiety, all these mind states, they are never you, for they are all dependent originating and conditioned arising mind states. They arise because of wrong thoughts, conditioned by self-delusion, sakaya ditti. When you see all this in your meditation, you can straighten your views to awaken. That's why sati or mindfulness or awareness is very important. Without sati, you cannot understand all this. You cannot see all this. Then, when you continue to be mindful of the six internal sense bases and the six external sense bases, you will come to know how upon contact the respective sense door consciousness comes to be. When you can see all this, you will have the ability to trace the origination factors to understand how anger arises, how fear arises, how this emotion arises, how grasping, clinging, and craving arise. When you can see them, you can develop the wisdom to retrospectively reverse it arising via understanding that they are all closely related to our sense experience occurring at the six sense doors. It is normally via the seeing consciousness, hearing consciousness, and the thought consciousness. The other mind door consciousness of smell, taste, and tactile are less potent and not so bad. But the real culprit is seeing, hearing, and thought consciousness. This one stirs your mind a lot, causing you to react to sense experiences and cause duality of likes and dislikes to arise. That's how the evil roots of like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experiences come to be. When you can be aware of all this, you will understand how the origination factors come to be. That's why, at every moment of sense experience, if you don't have the initial wisdom, uniso manasikara, to attend to it, you cannot cope. It will straight away condition you to react and stir your mind. That's how habitual tendencies can become very powerful and very potent. You become very mechanical, and you always act according to your memory from your brain, which holds all your accumulated knowledge, views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, your phobia, your insecurity, your scars of memory, etc. All these are your negative psychological memories and not wisdom. So you are actually acting according to your psychological memories and knowledge born of self-delusion, because you lack wisdom and understanding. When you act based on your sakaya ditti or self-delusion, your craving, your desire, born of your wrong view, will condition your suffering. Seeing and understanding all this is meditation. Then you will understand why you must not act according to memory, and why you cannot always go to your thought processes created by your mundane mind with its senses and accumulated knowledge to act, because that way of acting cannot free you. That's why thought-based meditation is doomed. You cannot develop wisdom out of it. You cannot liberate your mind and be free. So this is why awareness-based meditation is so important. Wisdom via seeing things as they are. When you are aware, you can see and observe what is clearly. To realize the origination factors of all these emotions when they arise at every moment of sense experience. Then from the senses, you can trace back to the causes behind. So to trace the origination factor, we need to inquire, why did you stir your mind? Is it because of your wrong view, your lack of Dharma understanding, right? It is because of your wrong view, your lack of Dharma understanding, right? When you cannot see things as they are, you will act according to memory, via seeing and perceiving things according to what your memory tells you. You will also act following your views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, and all your accumulated psychological memories, which includes your phobia, fear, insecurity, sorrow, lamentation, scars of memory, etc. All these will continue to haunt the living being because these are all delusions that condition wrong thoughts. What are wrong thoughts? Thoughts that condition your misery, your suffering, your fear, your worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, and insecurity, etc. So, the way to free yourself from all these is to straighten your view so that you can be at peace with all things. The next time you see something, hear something, smell something, taste something, or tactilely feel something, or recall through memory something, maybe scars of memory or whatever, inquire, how can you develop the wisdom not to stir your mind, not to create all these movements of mind states that bring about suffering? That is what the Buddha meant by Uniso Manasikara, wisdom arising at the moment of sense experience. The essential teaching of the Buddha is very clear. He said, we must meditate to see things as they are, to realize the truth, to awaken to the three universal characteristics of anicca, impermanence, dukkha, suffering, and anatta, non-self or empty nature of existence. The answers are here. To see things as they are, meaning to clearly see their universal characteristics. Then, with the five daily contemplations wisdom developed earlier, you are no longer deluded. This initial wisdom can help you awaken via understanding this. If they are impermanent, not a permanent unchanging entity, then why must I deludedly cling, grasp, and hold on to it, while wanting things my way, which is not nature's way? For everything goes the way of nature, just like what the Buddha said. Whatever arises, there are causes and conditions behind, which means I cannot argue with the reality, with what is, which is the truth, for what is decides everything. Well, this principle of whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind, is based on nature's law, nature's condition. If you understand this principle, then you have to accept whatever happened. Otherwise, you will suffer while wanting things your way, which is not nature's way. So, acceptance is the first understanding needed to free your mind. When you accept, you no longer worry, no longer project your thoughts, because you understand this based on right views and right understanding. When you have right views with regards to the spiritual law of karma, mind and truth, then you can see things as they are. Understand that the world is the world. Conditions like that, things will be like that. People are just the way they are. Deluded people do deluded things. Angry people do angry things. Selfish people do selfish things. Then your mind is free. With this wisdom and understanding, the next time when I see them, I no longer label them as evil or good or whatever. I can accept them for what they are via my direct seeing, for things are just the way they are. It can't be otherwise. When I have this wisdom to accept and be at peace with all things, which is what is, I do not stir my mind. Then my mind remains peaceful, calm, tranquil, and collected. That tranquil mind is my true mind. There is clarity and mindfulness within to understand all this. Then I ask myself, what actually happened? How can I resolve all this amicably? What did the Buddha teach? The Buddha taught the fourth noble truth and proclaimed that if you cultivate this noble eightfold path, it will lead to the end of all sufferings. So this is the solution. If you apply the noble eightfold path teaching to act following the Dharma way, instead of the usual habitual way of acting according to memory, then you can resolve all your so-called problems amicably. Acting according to wisdom, following the Dharma way, is the right way to act. Wisdom means having the embodiments of the Noble Eightfold Path factors and the understanding of the essential Dharma as taught by the Buddha to help you develop the understanding to solve your problems. You develop a wisdom to live life while cultivating this unique Dharma code 97. That's the reason why I need to go through with you all this unique Dharma code 97 first. This will enable you all to develop the initial wisdom, Uniso Manasikara, born of the first and second turning of the Four Noble Truths wisdom. Suttamayapana is the first turning wisdom born of constant listening to the Sutta, and Cittamayapanya is the second turning wisdom born of constant contemplation, reflection, and inquiry into the Four Noble Truths to stabilize your first turning wisdom. This initial wisdom is very important, for it can spontaneously prompt you at the moment of sense experience not to deludedly stir your mind. This is possible because with this initial wisdom, you will not go to your memory to act via habitual tendencies like before, thereby protecting you. Hence, no more acting according to memory like before. After that, we have to cultivate Bhavana Maya Panya, the third turning wisdom born of the meditative training, purification of mind. To do this, you need to develop the stability of mindfulness leading to samadhi to enable you to see things as they are via direct seeing. Via this direct seeing's awakening, you will understand clearly that you have two minds, the true mind and the mundane mind. How from the pure awareness, the mundane mind arises through its creative process to project into the phenomenal world of consciousness, via consciousness. Stages of creation and hallmark wisdom of Master Hui Neng. Please look at the four circles chart on the whiteboard to understand the stages of creation. The first circle here, the source, is our original nature or our true nature or the oneness nature. From here, the source, the first thing to come out is our pure awareness nature. That's why all of awareness-based meditation, training, and cultivation is to come to this point to realize the first hallmark wisdom of the sixth patriarch, Master Hui Neng, the state of no thought, Wu Nian De Jin Jie. When you can be here, in this state of pure awareness, you can just aware, without any thinking or thought. This is the realization of your true mind, the silent meditative mind. If you cannot be in this state of pure awareness while meditating, you are wasting your time, which means you are developing thought-based meditation instead. Thought-based means your thoughts are actively doing the thought-based meditation via lots of mental verbalization, chattering, and heedless habitual thinking born of self-delusion conditioned by your mental hindrances. When you are here at the mundane mind, five aggregates of form and mind level, this mundane thinking mind is very active, but you cannot see how all this come about because you lack mindfulness or awareness while here at the mundane mind. This mundane mind arises from here, pure awareness nature. When you are born into the world, the first thing that comes out is this pure awareness. In the case of a newborn baby, it is capable of direct seeing because of no knowledge, no memory, and no accumulation yet. They can see things as they are. That's why they are very innocent and very cute. From here at the pure awareness level, if you meditate while silencing your mind to be just awareness, then you will come to know how the thinking manifests from here. Pure awareness nature. Thinking manifests because we have this brain with its accumulated memories. As thought is a response to memory, and memory is accumulated knowledge with its views, opinions, conditionings, etc. Therefore, from here, pure awareness thoughts arise. What is thought? How do we create thought? Initially, it's just the spacious pure awareness. Then, to know the external form, we need to perceive this external form while shrinking our pure awareness to a limited space to input the content of consciousness to form a thought. Hence, thought is equals to pure awareness plus its content, sankhara. Reason why thought is limited. Perception sanya is the sixth consciousness. When we want to know, to experience, or to do something via habitual tendency, that egoic mind arises to perceive. The moment it is perceived, this sixth consciousness brings the external form, the sense data, into our consciousness to manifest this mundane mind as a thought. Then, through your memory, views, opinions, conditioning and belief system, etc., you react to whatever you perceive through your senses, then you stir your mind. That's how you become heedless, got lost in thoughts, and think a lot while you're constantly inputting your content of consciousness, sankhara. The last time when Brother Song was around, he realized this is what cultivators need to do. Cultivators have to return the external phenomenal world that this mundane mind creates through consciousness back to the mundane mind level. Understand how this phenomenal world of consciousness is projected into existence via all this mental consciousness our mundane mind manifests. When you become conscious while living life, you tend to perceive via sanya through your senses constantly. When you think, react, and stir your mind. These sankhara sanya movements and activities trigger off feelings and emotions. That's how this phenomenal world of consciousness is projected into our existence. This existential world, which is also our conditioned arising world, is what the phenomenal world of consciousness is all about. This is why where life and existence are and living beings get entangled here. They get afflicted because they grasp, cling, and give meaning to this phenomenal world of consciousness, thinking that it is real. A lot of things can happen here. That's why people do all sorts of nonsense here, not knowing that these are just mental images projected from your memory, from your mundane thinking, your mundane consciousness with its deluded content. Do you know how you know the world and how you interact with the world? Through our senses. Our six sense spaces can give rise to seeing consciousness, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, and thought consciousness. Without these six sense spaces, you cannot know the world. You cannot interact with the world. You cannot exist as a living being. So, understanding all these via the meditative process of awareness is crucial. You will then start to see how, referring to the four circles chart, these souls create this pure awareness, and how this pure awareness creates this mundane mind, which in turn creates the phenomenal world of consciousness. Living in the phenomenal world of consciousness is like watching a cinema show. The projector with its lights sound system, etc., projected onto a white screen, then the movie appears as if it is so real, so exciting and lively. But after the cinema show ends, it is just an empty white screen, nothing real. Can you understand?
So can you understand? Huh? Huh? Like watching the cinema show. Wow, so real. Color, shape and form, sound and the what? The animation, the sound system. Wow, can cry. Can even get so excited. Pay so much money to go and see. But end of the show, when the light is back to normal, that screen got nothing inside there. Understand? So all these are dependent originating images, understand now? Animated through technology, understand? Then make it like so real. That's why if you can have the awareness to be aware, then you will not be deceived and deluded. But that is the world, understand now? Because of technology, it's possible. So don't go and condemn all these things. Technology is here to stay. It's you, whether you understand what is going on or not. So this example is very good. Okay, Manyan. Eh? Manyan Pu Chien Chia. Oh, go toilet. Nemai Ingbi Rit. Ingbi Ken.
So all these movements and manifestations are just your mental sankara, sanya, activities triggered by your thought processes and the mundane thinking. When you understand all this, you can return this
PWC, phenomenal world of consciousness.
World of consciousness to the mundane mind.
Okay, stop for a while. We are here, the mundane mind, I didn't put the MM, because that time when I do the book, here PWC, this one, mundane mind, is MM. Okay? Okay? Then this one, pure awareness, is PA. So when you understand this four circle formation, then you know how to develop the understanding based on what I have described. You want to find this four circle in the next book, under Appendix 9, you can find it. Ultimate Realization to Transcend Life. Appendix 9 at the back, God. So based on this, all this will become very clear. Okay, so PWC is where the phenomenal world of consciousness is. So when you understand all this that happened on the cinema screen, how do you come to know about it? How come it becomes so real? Through your mental process and activity. So, like Amy say, you perceive through your knowledge, then you can understand what the shows or cinema director is trying to create for you. So all this movement and manifestation are just your mental sankara, sanya activity triggered by your thought process and the mundane thinking. Without that mundane mind, you cannot know what is going on. How you know the world, how you interact with the world, how you create all this so-called ideology in your mundane thinking, it's all because of your senses. So see that externally already not so real. Cinema screen is very easy to let you understand. It's a blank screen, but projected by all the color, shape and form, it's like all the causes and conditions dependent originating pop on the screen. Then you got a mundane mind. Wow! You grasp, you cling, you hold, you keep meaning. Then come out, can talk about it some more. Inside some more can cry. And do all those things. Is it real? Not real. Then why you become so emotional away? Understand? And this is a cinema show, no? Defilement is worse than cinema show, no? Understand? Cinema show don't condition you into negativity, but sometimes it make you cry, or make you excited. Most of the time, you only become bosong if the ending is not what you want. But at least it's not like defilement. through your own Sakkaya Ditti, you stir your mind and become bosong every moment. So it's cinema show, so you cannot see the unreality. How all these things through causes and conditions is projected up there. Then how can you deal with the world, with life, with external phenomenal world that have all this defilement coming in, or sense data which you perceive through delusion, Sakkaya-ditti. You cannot handle. So see it. Cinema show is because good example, that's why I put it there. Easier for you to understand than the external phenomena. Because you think it's so real, you know, everything outside, like the table all so solid. You know. But cinema screen, the show over, the light on, what do you see? Blank screen, understand? White screen. Where got reality? Actually, everything you perceive, everything you touch, and create through your thought, is all images, understand? Mind make a day, consciousness. Externally already not reality, dependent originating, but you cannot see. But give you the analogy of the cinema show, you can see, understand? Nothing on the screen, isn't it? But everything that is projected on it, in Hokkien is what? U tau u bui, understand? Like everything very real. They got this sense around. Now the latest one is what? 4D, 5D or whatever. So now the sensuality of the world through multimedia, they can create a lot of sensuality to Leo and entice living beings. So, yeah. That's why you pay money for it.
Again, I want to be careful when I share all these thought things, so stop me if I'm bringing everyone Holland. But this movie thing combined with what Brother Fong asked about where is the Sakkaya-ditti, suddenly click, another click happened in my mind. The answer we had for Brother Fong's question is Sakkaya-ditti is not here. The movie screen, example show, there is no entity. All the hero and the evil character, all in on the movie screen, all the character, all the role play we have here, all created by thought. It's just complex network of thought that we go and say good, this one good, that one bad, this one hero, this one the victim, you know. That is avijja. This is the brain. This is all our consciousness, seeing, hearing, everything. It's stir and cook, cook, cook. All this personality, the identity, is byproduct of this nama rupa, nama rupa. So this Sakkaya-ditti is many split personality we can cook up here. And that's who we think we are. So that suddenly occurred to me. If it leads, cannot understand or lead you wrong way, then don't bother.
Oh, it's okay. Well, from there, I can tell you how deluded you are. Your brain, through all your memory, knowledge, everything, that's why it can interpret what the images is. Then all the character come out, like Sui say. Do you know it's all unreal? At the brain, consciousness level, also unreal. But you create to grasp and cling. You understand or not? It's only images, but you give meaning, you grasp, you think, and you not only make it real, you've been deceived by it. Because when I see a cinema show, within existence, I know all this scientific technology, very good. That's why you ask my daughter, my wife, I like to read and understand what the world is going through. But I am not deceived by what happened. No. Even they create the latest technology or what, I can still appreciate. But I cannot be deluded by it because this is all mind-make. So if you don't have the awareness nature, develop the direct seeing, the wisdom, you cannot see the unreality of form, the unreality of mind. You cannot see beyond form. You cannot see beyond thought. Understand? No? The main thing is to develop this direct seeing, the wisdom. Then you can see beyond thought and see beyond form. And then life become wonderful. Understand? No? Means Very beautiful, amazing, pristine. Understand not? Every moment is so pristine. I can still, within the conditioned world, have that moment of consciousness to see all this, to understand all this. They say sometimes I also open the TikTok. My daughter also know. My wife also know. So all this, because that is the existential world's reality. And you have to listen to news. You have to watch the TV. I watch the CNBC, the whatever, all the international movie, including CGTN. Understand not? Nothing wrong when you know that that is the world. Understand not? But there is a lot of meaning. Understand not? From there, I gather how living being create havoc. Understand not? Donald Trump alone creates so much havoc. They call king of tariff. That tariff alone, the whole world, 8 billion, a lot of them agitated. Everybody talking about it. Canada, whole country, Canadian, betahan now. Understand? Betahan means what? Cannot take it already. Understand? Means what? Bosong now. Understand? The whole country bosong, that consciousness, very negative. You understand? Then the anger, the patriotism, everything surface. Then like Emily said, everybody go into the supermarket, don't want to buy American product. Boycott here, boycott there. True or not? Emily?
Yes.
So this is the world, understand? But if we develop our wisdom, understand, then we know there is no reality. But this is the existent collective consciousness that evolved and bring forth this thing. And this thing is life, understand? We cannot say everything not real, my child. Understand not? Oh, yo, the monster, evil, hai lang one, don't want to see. The Buddha never teach you that. He reprimand Ananda. Ananda heard from somebody, he said, see no evil, hear no evil. Then you are without evil. The Buddha reprimand him. He's a foolish one. When did I taught you that one? You see that thing, neither good or evil. How it become evil is because you react to it. You perceive it with unwholesomeness and negativity. Understand not? Where got evil and good? But when you perceive negativity, we are so conditioned by all the, what they call, convention that society has given you. Oh, this is evil, this is good. Then a lot of things that happen in life, you tend to oscillate between the duality, understand? Good and evil. Good, you cling. Evil, you try to reject. That's why your like and dislike, your song and bo song, both also evil root, understand? So this cinema show is very good. Now wake up, understand? Because that one very easy to know that it's unreal. After the show end, the light on, you walk out that time, you don't look at the cinema screen, though. You think, but that one to you is not important. In your brain, the character inside there is still going on. And your commentary, then your friend discuss you. Yeah, director stupid, end lah, they're not nice lah. If I were the director, again, not reality. You see the mundane mind talk. The way it talk, I tell you, can be a comedy, I tell you. And this is what the world is, understand? When you have awareness, you see it, then you are not deceived by it. You remember? Fifth Patriarch Toh Hui Ning? This mind, you must know how to use it, but not be deluded by it. That is what living life is all about, understand?
Yes.
Louder. Don't be gullible, good food cannot eat. All these things cannot see, cannot touch, cannot get involved. Politics, don't touch. What is going on? The delusion. But these are the reality. See it. The reality within the existential world has its movement. The totality of consciousness conditioned it to be like. Thing is just the way it is. Donald Trump is just the way he is. Understand? Conditioned like that, he will manifest. Understand? It's not for you to comment. How come got this type of president? Understand? You never ask yourself, how come got this type of deluded you? Understand? And you still think this is real, no? That life, I really miss out. If I have known this Dhamma earlier, I would live the wonderful life. Not a reality you can project and you can talk about it some more. Understand? The reality is, the Dhamma all the while there, no? But you don't have the condition to receive it. No? Then you go and complain, you're so old only, I come across the Dhamma. Even you all come across the Dhamma, you think you can understand? You can penetrate? Yeah, those who really diligent have faith, who can. But the guy that say, if I have contacted the Dhamma earlier on, then I will not be so deluded. I will not suffer. You think he can penetrate? Very likely people who say, if one, all cannot on. But don't know what reality is. If it's not a reality, if I had been Bill Gates' son, everything you can imagine, all the Ferrari, everything you think you can drive, that is not a reality. Or end already, I have to end. Sadhu. So the timekeeper show like that already. Okay, thank you. So we stop here, page 23. Did you all learn? Like that some more not clear. Then very difficult to let you understand. So hopefully you seriously with the resolve, develop the awareness nature and you penetrate faster. Then you read, you not only enjoy and love, no, you look at the beauty of the way the Dhamma is being presented. Understand? So this is what the real teaching is. Not the theoretical one, not applicable to life. Okay, we better end.